Good morning. It's Friday, 4th of December. I would like to begin this morning by apologising for my error yesterday. I hope I did not create too much confusion in your daily routine. Our New Testament reading today is Hebrews 11. I'm going to read to you from Brother John Carter, and this is his comment on verse 7. One verse only is devoted to Noah, but in it the apostle draws his lesson for the Hebrews. There was some parallel between his day and theirs. Both were days of judgment, and in each case the people of God had been forewarned. Noah received an intimation of God's intention, telling him what he must do. And God said unto Noah, "The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood." Noah believed and obeyed, and the ark was prepared. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he, is the simple record of what must have been met with much ridicule. In this action, Paul says that Noah was actuated by fear, not a terror of judgment for himself, but a fear which is awe and respect and devoutness and reverence. Such a fear was exhibited by Jesus, concerning whom it had already been said in this epistle that he was heard for his godly fear. That's chapter 5, verse 7. Such a fear is the opposite of that which springs from cowardice. Noah showed courage and endurance. He persevered in a course which doubtless earned for him the contempt of the ungodly. But he held on. In the end, he was justified. He prepared an ark for the saving of his house, and he and his found refuge in the storm and survived it. His conduct did two things, one in relation to the world, and the other affecting himself. He condemned the world, says Paul. Actions which spring from faith can give eloquent testimony against evil. "If the world hate you," said Jesus, "ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love its own." That's John chapter 15. Noah testified by word as well as deed. "For God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood upon the world of the ungodly," as Peter wrote in his second epistle. The absence of response to such a living faith as he exhibited testifies to the utterness of the depravity of the world of his day. The work of Noah was not without benefit to himself. God found him righteous, and he became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He was justified by his faith, and he provides Peter with an illustration of salvation. The long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto, even baptism, doth also now save us. Brother Carter continues in these terms. In the three illustrations of faith so far cited, there were particular lessons for the Hebrews. From the case of Abel, they learned the necessity of right worship. From Enoch, the necessity of faith and a consistent walk. And from the example of Noah, they saw the need of preparing according to God's word for escape from judgment about to break upon them. Those lessons, of course, were valid for the time in which the apostle was writing. They are equally valid for our time. Let us heed them. Thank you for listening to me.